I invite your attention to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3, and I want to read the first 18 verses and deal with a thought or a subject. Did I hear it right? Did I hear it right? Chapter 3. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Father, it's again my privilege to stand and to petition the throne of grace. I ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to appreciate it tonight from the depths of our heart, the glorious truth that God has made himself known, given us his word. And Father, we appreciative of the testimony of others that have already gone through all that they went through, and yet they stood steadfast in the things of the Lord. Now, Father, bless as we read the word and preach the message. Glorify Jesus Christ our Lord, for I pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Verse 1. Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king went to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges and the treasurers and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He shall deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And if we'd go on and read this story, while I'm giving you just a bit of introduction here, I'm going to turn this phone off because I don't want to have to fuss at myself. Because I'm going to fuss at you if yours goes off, so. I didn't hear you. Oh, Bob. He doesn't even know where that off switch is on that thing. But nonetheless, we have what I call a tremendous story here. And actually the account of an event. It's more than just a story. Now, a story can be true, it cannot, or sometimes it not be true. Just be something that folks have made up and they want to just tell a story. But there's an event that we read of here is a real event in the life of three men. And it's an interesting story. It's a tremendously strong testimony of the grace of God and what God is able to do. Nebuchadnezzar made this image of gold. And he set it up in the plains of Dura. He picked a large place, no doubt, so that there would be ample room for all of these folks that were brought to this particular dedication. This is probably an effort to unite the kingdom. Honestly, there's really a couple of ways that you can unite a kingdom usually. It's a rare thing that it's done just out of pure love for the ruler. But you can either unite a kingdom with religion or with hatred. You have to have a common point of hatred or a people, as many times the case is. And when you have that, then you can focus all of the attention of everyone on it. And they have common ground. They can hate the same person, the same people. Or you can have a common religion to unite folks together. And this particular effort, I'm persuaded, must have been to unite this kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar to give it the strength that he wanted it to have. It's quite a massive piece of work to put together this empire, this kingdom, and then to maintain it and to bring it to a place that he wanted it to be. These three men would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And Nebuchadnezzar asked the question, who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? If you don't bow down, I mean, what you going to be the source of your deliverance? And I just entitled, did I hear it right? You're not going to bow down? Well, they're quick to answer because they've already settled it in their minds that they're not going to bow down to this image of gold. And they're not going to worship at this particular idol. Because they're not going to worship at any idol at this point. And they're going to give ready answer, quick answer to Nebuchadnezzar. We're not careful to answer you in this matter, they said. But let's just think about some things as we look into it today. The worship itself, that's a settled issue. These young men were not going to bow down. But let's just put it in a question form and try to give you an answer. Did I hear it right? You won't worship my gods? Well, we have a lot of gods that folks are bowing down today too. In the United States of America. They don't call it a god, but it is a god to them because it has become the focus of their lives and the center of all of their attention, even to the point of willingness to sacrifice to a particular thing in society or in their lives. But the determination of these young men had been settled a long time ago. As young men, they said, we will not defile ourselves with the king's meat. These young men had been trained, I think, very well. They went to the finest university of the day. They went to the University of Babylon. It was not necessarily called that, but they were trained by the best in the land for this particular purpose, that they might be counselors to the king. And I am persuaded that these three plus Daniel being four, and apparently Daniel was somewhere else, or he was standing, he had been elevated to a place that he was not required to bow down. But likely he was not there, so he is not in this particular picture that we have before us. But these three men, along with Daniel, as young men, keep in mind now the first chapter of the book of Daniel. How that as young men, they were torn from their homes and their homeland, from their very worship, and were brought to a strange land. And since they were of the right material, they were out of royalty, they were chosen and trained, or to be trained, and were trained. But as young men, there was the opportunity given them to eat of the best fare of the land. There are some folks that eat to live, and others live to eat. You'll have to figure out which category you fall into. But we have some that eat or live to eat. And that's not a good thing, to be honest about it. But we do it. But these young men had an opportunity of the great table of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think that anything on that table was second? Sometimes we may have a steak appetite and we have hamburger funds. And we have to settle for what we can get. But Nebuchadnezzar did not have to do that. And at his table, that was the best fare. And they said, we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat. Not only that, but the best wine in the land would have been brought from that table. You would say, well, they wouldn't be tempted in that fashion. Oh, yes, they would. because it was an opportunity to partake of something that likely they had never been exposed to in their lives, as they would have been exposed to it under the circumstances that they are, but they determined that they belonged to God early in their lives, and they would not bow down to this golden God that was set up in the plains of Dura. They knew God, and they knew Him to be the living God. And that makes a great deal of difference as to the choices that we're going to make in life. What do we really know about God? If your acquaintance with God is at best a casual acquaintance, and it's a passing word now and then, and there's not a system of prayer in our lives, then certainly we are not going to be strong in the Lord nor the power of His might. But they knew God to be the living God. They knew that there was one alive, and that God out in the plains of Dura was not alive. It probably looked well. I wouldn't say that God did not shine well, that it did not look good, but there was no life in it. Isaiah settled this issue a long time before when he said, the idols have eyes that don't see, they have ears but they don't hear, etc. They have feet but they don't walk, they have hands but they don't handle. And ultimately, the idols have to be carried, have to be tended and taken care of. The things that belong to God's a little different story, and I won't get into the beauty of the tabernacle tonight. But just to mention that it sure does portray our Lord Jesus Christ and the living God. And the children of Israel had learned that out in the wilderness God could set a table and supply the need. But these three men knew God as the living God. And do you tonight know Him in such a fashion that if your life literally depends on it, that you know that He is the source of our life? Abraham and Isaac picture this so well as they went to the mountain. I think Isaac asked a good, solid question. Here's wood, here's a fire. Where's the lamb? His back's loaded with the wood and so forth. It's time to ask about a lamb. God will provide Himself a lamb. And that rings down through the ages to this good hour. There is a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and it's Jesus Christ. But they knew God to be the living God. And they believed that He was adequate to deliver them from the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to know that we sometimes fuss about our government, but there are laws in our land that restrain our government. I feel that tragically there are powers that be would like to remove some of them. Just by the way, the amendment that says that you have a right to bear arms, it wasn't so you could go squirrel hunting, but it was to keep a government straight. And the government understands that. And the American people, at least there are some folks out here that still hold near and dear the freedoms that were guaranteed to this land in the Constitution of the United States of America. That's all. I'll not get on that soapbox. And I just wanted to let you know that they believed that God was adequate to deliver them and would deliver them. irregardless of the circumstances. But they had a conviction that even if he didn't deliver them, it's still all right. Made no difference. They're either going to live for God and with God here or there. The passage in the New Testament that said whether alive or dead, we live with God. Basically, is what it infers is that we are alive in the Lord, and He is the source of our life, and He's adequate to deliver us. Well, we look on into this particular story, and I believe Nebuchadnezzar would have asked, did I hear it right, that you're not going to cooperate? There's going to be a resounding theme in our land, and it'll grow, and it'll be heard farther and farther, that fundamental Christians are the problem of this land, because they're not cooperative. There is a false accusation that is made of Christians already today, that if you don't agree with an alternate lifestyle, that you hate folks. And they call it a hate crime, and it's not hate. It's just believing that sin is sin, and righteousness is righteousness, and then God is God and has a right to express Himself and tell us how things ought to be. Thank you. You trouble the plans. You trouble the program. We must have tolerance in this country. Well, I think that we honestly could say today that we're swallowed up with tolerance. You have a right, I have a right to hold my opinion and to express my opinion in public or in private. And it is not, I realize that you don't have a right to go into a crowded room and holler fire, but I've never known a Christian that wanted to do that. They just simply want to voice their belief, their faith, and their trust in Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar would have said, you're messing up my program. We're going to unite this kingdom. It's going to be a strong kingdom. Probably it'll be the greatest empire ever on earth. In fact, you go back a chapter and you'll find out that actually the question that was on Nebuchadnezzar's mind was, how long is this thing going to last? I mean, the idea was, is my kingdom going to be just going on and on and on, or will it change? Well, we know it changes, and it did change. But are you going to be cooperative, or are you going to be uncooperative? How did I hear it? Did I hear it right? They'd have to say we're not going to cooperate with a program that denounces God and denies Him that we love. I believe that he would have asked, are you going to be tolerant of all religions? This is a Christian nation, period. We don't have to say any more. The founders themselves, and my, some of them bore tremendous testimony. Do you realize that a lot of the men that were in places of great responsibility were men of God, preachers? And honestly, today, because it was a Baptist preacher that took his stand, there's three different churches named and were approached to be government churches. Two of them said, well, that's all right with us. But one fellow said, no, sir, we won't have it. Give you that free of charge tonight. You're going to be tolerant. I think we need to recognize that there is religious liberty here, but we don't have to tolerate a lot of things. If you ask me my opinion about a lot of different religions, I'll tell you the truth, that they're false. They'll not save. And they'll not deliver. And it'll send folks straight to hell. That's a fact. Did I hear you right? Or not? Do you believe that my God is as good as yours is? Who is that God's going to deliver you out of my hand? He was putting himself in a high place when he asked that. He was saying, God stands on my level. But God stands on a level all his own. Again, Isaiah speaks of him as sitting solitary in the heavens. Now, some of you play these games on your television, and a lot of them are the game of solitaire. And it means that you play the game against yourself, basically, that you are your own opponent. Well, God sits solitary in the heavens. He's the only one. You can look around and you can try to find another, but you'll not find another. Now, I enjoyed when they were around the first space shuttle. What was the name of that thing? Star Trek. But if you remember, if you happen to have seen it, there's one particular program that focused on Greek mythology and how that these Greek gods were living on another planet. Well, that fellow that wrote that must have come from a different planet. But that was the idea, that there are other gods out here. Well, there's not another god out here. He sits solitary in the heavens. And his God was not as good as that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's bring it real personal. Did I hear you right? You believe in salvation by grace alone. You'll stand almost alone to say that today. Tragically so. Folks ought to believe that. The Word of God teaches that. That it is God's grace. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast. We have no grounds for boasting before God. So, yes, I believe that salvation is by grace alone. Whenever I stand before Him, He'll not ask me if I've done enough works. Because if I'd have worked from day one till my final day, I'd still be short of the glory of God. One of the issues he would raise is that, did I hear it right? You believe in Jesus Christ. And when I say that, I'm talking about who he is as a person, that he's God's son, that he certainly is God in the flesh. It's God in the flesh when he was here on earth, and men would look at him and when he made that particular statement of his deity, they would shudder and step back and say, we need to get rid of him. He's going to really mess us up. You know, Rome's going to come one day and take our places. And that was a hierarchy in Israel. The ones that were not believers. Government appointees. And yet, Jesus Christ was the true one. And they were the false ones. Do you believe he's coming again? We'll close with that thought tonight. Did I hear you right? You believe he's coming again? Do you believe that one day he who is to come will come? And will not tarry. In other words, it'll not be another day. There'll not be another time of waiting until he comes. because he's coming again for his own. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We've got our missionary here, Brother Donald Turner, down Honduras way, and we've come together and want to say to him, we'll see you later, goodbye for a time. And so after the service, then there's a time of fellowship and a table. And we'll do that. Donald, you want to go on to the back so that they can greet you as they go out? I don't know whether he'll let you hug his neck or not, but you might try it as you go. Let's stand together, and I'll dismiss us with prayer. Father, it's precious to be able to call you Father, to be able to know assuredly that we are your children, and you're our God, and beside you there is none else. It's said exactly as it is. Ye are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And you've taken our sins, we that are believers, and put them behind your back, never to be remembered against us anymore. And we appreciate that and thank you for it. Bless the time of fellowship, and as we have to say to Donald goodbye for a time, let it be a sweet time and a precious time and an encouraging time, not only for us, but for him as well. And we'll thank you for what you do, for we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.